Hell of a blah, blah, blah. That was the worst start ever.
Services, Lavazzi at book1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 493. I'm Adam and I need you to shut up. And it's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I demand to know who you are.
Debbie Melrose.
I don't know.
Robert Haynes.
The big question, where did you get a pair of men's pajamas from?
And here comes the best one, it's Mary Lang.
And what else has he got two of?
I wasn't was going to say that one.
There are too many great quotes.
Well, my actual one was going to be, I'm going to get killed by a Christmas tree. So I had to come in on that one.
Yeah, after you realise I'd taken the best quote, you obviously didn't realise it wasn't worth doing anymore.
Well, right. Actually, I was going to suggest that we all do, yes, I know who you are. But...
yes, I know who you are.
Yeah, but thankfully, after 493 episodes, we realised that's probably likely to be a bit boring, so we'll go down the more interesting
route. What happened to my player?
I don't know. And frankly...
my Blu-ray player turned off.
I don't care. I just hope the viewers, all two of you, have noticed how pretty and sharp I look. And you see all my wrinkles over this high-definition output via my new piece of kit, which has been bought in to do live streaming from weddings. Well, a couple of weddings at least. So, and also, the sound is coming through the microphone of said video camera. It might move, because it's very... only sort of carefully balanced on the top of my computer at the moment, so it might start swinging left or swinging right, then I might have to correct it. But don't I look sharp? I look a lot sharper than I actually am, which is quite interesting itself. Terry Miles, an interruption there, Terry. That was all your for you. Interrupt your comment has got interrupted by Kirby, so that's the thing you can tick off your bucket list. Yes, Kirby.
Never mind. I was able to. Mutes the output before it started.
Hooray. But let's see if I can do Terry this time. Terry Miles says, good evening. And then Lillian Robinson said, oh, there you are. So Lillian's doing her own quotes now, which is quite interesting. It's something surreal, isn't it, having quotes from Lillian of 20 megabyte quotes within the podcast itself. That's like a...
serves her own quotes.
Yeah, indeed. And this is the exciting bit, everybody. Because... Slick. My Mac is going so slow at the moment. Billy Kirkbright says, hello, it's 2 a.m. and there's a cyclone over me.
He's got to be safe.
Connection to this visual and audio extravaganza might be patchy. What do you have to say to that, Robert? At what time is it where you are?
It's a cyclone. There's a cyclone.
A cyclone? You're going for a cycle?
Is that a hurricane?
You're in the middle of a cyclone right now.
No, a cyclone
is that a hurricane?
Cyclones are not hurricanes because they rotate in the opposite direction. Isn't that right, Robert?
Or are they tornadoes? Is a cyclone wet or is it dry like a tornado?
A cyclone is like a hurricane.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a hurricane, but it goes in the opposite, rotates in the opposite direction, doesn't it, Debbie?
If it's a cyclone, you've got to play.
Isn't it that anything?
Play the music from Wizard of Oz.
No, that's a tornado.
That's a twister.
Don't.
No. They're all going around the beginning of Wizard of Oz, going. It's a cyclone.
Yeah, right. Okay. But don't the storms below the equator rotate in the different directions of the ones above it? She's laughing. Obviously, I'm stupid. I seem to have forgotten all of my. I seem to have forgotten my geography O level stuff. That was quite a few years ago, but I have clearly forgotten it because there's a second geography based subject I've spoken about in the last week. Right then, we're going to go straight.
So.
Big pardon?
I would say so, what you're saying, because the magnetic poles are there.
Billy Kirkbright says cyclones are wet.
Yeah, I bet they are.
I have run across a problem with the fact that I purchased this particular, all of the David Tennant's on Blu-ray, in that it's difficult for me to play Blu-ray and be on the computer at the same time.
Kirby's trying his hardest, of course, trying to make a cup of tea. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee. Right, the Christmas invasion.
Kirby, just be like us and listen to Adam talk about it.
But then I can't spot all the pedantic things.
Oh, hang on, where are we?
Well, I know what I could do. Okay.
Anyway,
for God's sake.
The episode begins, anyway, Billy Kirkbright says, welcome to the Cyclone Stroke Hurricane podcast, indeed. So the episode begins with a similar sort of scene that we see at the beginning of Rose, funny enough, with the camera panning past the moon to Earth, and then, what?
Oh my
god. Exact same. Except that it doesn't focus in on the clock radio.
Jackie is tarting up a white Christmas tree. I haven't taken note. White Christmas tree.
Yeah.
A very old-fashioned white Christmas tree from the 1970s, funny
enough. Racist.
No, I'd not like to have rice on Christmas Day, but good observation there, or attempted observation there, Robert. She's just tidying up some presents and finds one that says, "To Rose, Merry Christmas from Mum," because Rose is, you know, out
last
somewhere.
Last diesel of Rose was her going off being the bad wolf.
And Mickey, meanwhile, has got a job in a mechanics place, otherwise known as a garage in this country, or a garage, as it is in America.
A garage.
Anyway. I've got it playing on HBO Max on my phone.
Garage.
So follow along.
I'm relieved.
Welcome to the
Kirby.
Yeah. Welcome to the How Kirby is Watching Doctor Who podcast. Anyway, so
I'm
they
not
hear
watching
that.
It at all.
Sorry, Mickey hears the sound of the TARDIS engine, so does Jackie, and they run out into the...
Sure it's not a key on a piano.
That is, very true. Too much Blue Peter for you, wasn't it, really, Robert? And they run into the very familiar yard, and they're looking for the TARDIS, and it very coolly, I love this scene, smashes against a few buildings.
It's brilliant, isn't it, yeah.
Before, almost like spinning to a stop. So good. Old Tenny pokes his head out the door and
Old Tenny, he looks great in leather.
He looks like a high schooler in this.
And he says hello to a very confused Jackie and Mickey, and he calls Mickey, which is quite nice instead of Mickey the idiot. And then he just falls over and falls asleep, because obviously that's what he does for most of this episode. And Rose comes out, she's a bit cross, even though he sort of saved her life a few moments ago. And it's him. Well, I think it's him. I'm not quite sure.
Master. Oh, God. The whole idea, he's doing the same thing that the third Doctor did through most of one of the episodes of his first story.
Indeed.
The head from space.
Oh. So really, which story was that? Tell us all about it.
No, don't say that to him, Mary, for goodness sake. So basically Rose has to be a doctor while the doctor is sort of rested up in a bed. She's even got a stethoscope. Where'd you get a stethoscope from?
That looks like from a kid's set, if you ask me.
She says she borrows it from a couple of doors down the kids at medical college.
Oh, I didn't listen to that. Well done, Debbie.
Negative.
The Jones. Well,
there's a lodger a couple of doors down who...
Oh, okay. Debbie!
I got it wrong.
Yeah, she didn't.
Oh, goodness.
She's all off my bell.
Someone down the way, not
Oh. My bell's disappeared. Hang on. I'm just looking for the bell. No. Okay, right. Where do we get up to? Oh, yeah. So Rose is moaning and grumbling and getting told off by
Jackie. Yeah, we let Adam leave him alone. My cat's joining in. Every time you talk, my cat meows.
Here it is. Tina, the cleaner's got this lodger, a medical student, and she was fast asleep, so I took it.
Goodness.
He's proving me wrong, Leia.
You would have to look at that.
That really matters. Thanks.
It's what I said I need to be done with.
Everything matters.
Anyway, so then we have a flash to... A flam, if I just bashed it. Oh, I've taken the skin off it. Oh dear, I might need a medic. I've taken a flake. I'll try my ultra sensitive camera. Might better see the flake of skin I took off my thumb there. Right then. So. Then we meet Harriet Jones, Prime Minister, doing her Boris Johnson sort of.
Okay, so how long do you think this is since Rose disappeared last time?
Couple of months, I reckon.
Anyway, he.
Well, if Robert is what Robert is alluding to is that theoretically, Harriet Jones had three terms as Prime Minister, and it was the golden age. This seems like she's barely been Prime Minister, and she's about to end her reign as Prime Minister.
Marvelous. I was going to say.
Am I correct, Robert?
Well, in order to
say words.
She's doing a little Boris Johnson thing, and she's asking to view some slides. So the rest of the cast end up at the playground looking at some slides and some swings and some roundabouts. Ask to look at some slides.
Can we have a dirt there?
Do not watch Boris Johnson's blooming briefings, for goodness sake. Anyway, so then there's this spaceshipy thing that the Brits have suddenly found enough money to send up because it's their golden age, etc., which smashes straight into a rather large, rocky, spacey shipy thing.
I mean, it has to be some wild, doesn't it?
Have I got a handle on this chair?
I was unable to find this because I can't get the URL properly.
Oh, dear.
Apparently, when this episode came out, besides the Who is the Doctor fake webpage that they put out for the beginning of Series 1, they put out a Guinevere 1 fake webpage. Mm. And in the Guinevere 1 webpage, they refer to the government got help from the British Rocket Group, which was headed by Professor Quatermass.
We have Kirby Siegel again.
Kirsty's free.
Oh, good. I'll rescue her. Get
some more Benedict.
Get Kirsty on quick that she could bicker with Kirby.
No! Actually, it might help me out, shouldn't it?
Maybe she can watch the Blu-ray.
Kirsty. Ah, there she is.
I watched it on BBC iPlayer.
Got an itchy elbow. Right,
I watched on Blu-ray.
Be nice to Kirsty, because she stayed off the show for so many weeks that if you're horrible to her, she might not come back again. Right, so when Kirsty comes on, be very nice to her, yeah? I don't know if she's
very,
on yet.
Very, very quiet.
Obviously, I know Kirby can't be nice. I know.
Hello,
Kirby
all.
Oh! Hi, Kirsty!
Hello!
Who's this?
Kirsty!
Who's this lady?
Is
she a stranger? Kirsty! Be nice to her.
Brand new.
She might not come back on the show. And we've only got six episodes to go to 500. Of course, there won't be any big fuss over 500 because I think it's this time. The amount of effort I've put into shows leading up to big milestone episodes and it fell on nothing. I reckon we're going to leave it to our listener to put the effort in to our 500th episode and see what happens. I'm not going to. I'll give up. I found that it's not really worth doing. Might be worth doing the 500th episode, but not trying
not
to make a big deal of it.
Quotes and stuff.
Nah, we're just doing just normal episode. There's no point in getting a bottle of Morgan Spice
you
out.
Can't
and
do that.
Well, I put a lot of effort into those.
Hey, I have a low effort suggestion. Yes. What if we did a Zoom call?
Why? Oh, you mean so we can see everybody?
So everybody can see everybody. Have you guys ever done that?
No. No.
But ended up getting really distracted.
That was funny, though. Only because Andy Nunny was in his back garden with... Excuse me, I'm explaining. That Andy Nunny was in his back garden wearing a dressing gown with his legs akimbo. That's why we stopped doing the live stuff.
That was...
Oh, dear.
Yes, oh, dear, indeed. It was complete nuts, I tell you. Anyway, right, so, but yeah, I mean, I don't know, can you share the Zoom thingy on Facebook so everybody, all the listeners, viewers, can see everybody?
No idea.
Kirsty, I'll leave that one with you to find out. While we get, well, we're doing Doctor Who at the moment, Kirsty.
Never
seen
Zoom on Facebook or any
never have known
media like that.
And we've just, you won't be surprised to hear that Kirby's managed to, we've been on air for, how many have been on air for now?
16 minutes.
Oh, hang on, about 17 minutes, and we've only got 6 minutes into the episode, so.
Yeah, no, we've not managed to get far because Kirby's been proving me wrong.
So.
I was not deliberately trying to prove you wrong.
And Adam went to sleep.
So we've got up to the bit where they've just been watching the Prime Minister on the telly talking about asking for slides, and they're all heading to the playground to look at the slides and the swings and roundabouts. It's definitely worth doing that joke a second
time.
Around,
it's not funny the second time.
Well, it would have been if you hadn't talked about it. Anyway, Billy Kirk Wright says, I've been in Mr. Nunny's back garden. Is that a euphemism, Billy? It does worry me what our listeners post on there. anyway, so Rose and Mickey go for a little walk through the very cutely arranged market. It's a Christmas market, which looks like it's in Cardiff, because it really doesn't look like London. I've been to Cardiff, and it looks like Cardiff. I know. Anyway, meanwhile, some musicians dressed as sort of Father Christmases, but with angel wings, are playing a sort of like a combo. They're sort of playing music on their trombones. But
brass band.
RTD is not a fan of the Santas.
Guess what? Eh?
Well, RTD is not a fan of the Santa.
Well, he wrote the blimmin' story. He should. And he was the.
No, he said it didn't come out quite the way that they wanted. Yeah.
It didn't come out quite the way.
The design choices that were made for the masks. He wasn't totally happy with them. I watched the commentary on the Blu-ray.
Well, I quite like the masks.
Did you watch the commentary?
How long have we got now before I get told off by Debbie? We've got about an hour and 10 minutes. Good.
This happens to be, by the way, it's Warden Street in Cardiff. It's the same street that the department store was on in the first episode.
Right.
Who knows that, Kirby?
Consistency, wonderful. Anyway, the trombones are not trombones. They're sort of weird flame-throwing devices, and they're aiming for...
How can they play music, then?
I know. Maybe they had a little, like, a speaker that was just playing the music over, and they were miming to it.
They got a Bluetooth speaker in their fanny packs.
You know what?
I just want to say fanny pack, that's all.
Okay, back to Doctor Who.
I could tell you what Isla calls it, but it would probably be a little bit rude. She calls it a no. Oh, right, I'm going to say vagina pocket, because she got it.
Well, this podcast is really going down a weird route at the moment. Anyway, so...
I can't understand the American word.
We had a chocolate store.
Translate it to a literal British slang translation.
We had a chocolate store in the Mall of America here called Fanny Farmer.
Oh, God. How am I supposed to get from that back to Doctor Who?
I don't know. Is there anything else she's got two of?
Yeah,
anyway, so yeah, it's a big...
Jesus.
With the Santas playing the music... Unfortunately, first of all, I was watching this last night with Fred, and she and I looked at each other and said, "Mr. Bean should come along any second now."
Why?
Because of the Christmas episode of Mr. Bean. It's just very similar, laid out with the band and everything.
Cut the two of them in the background. But,
yeah. And secondly, I didn't find out until about an hour ago, but since I can't play the Blu-ray while we're talking. Apparently, if you look in the window of that Waterstones behind the Santas, there's a Doctor Who book.
Oh, wow. Was that a mistake?
Pretty wake Adam up. He's gone off again.
Oh, so we're back again.
Is it the market?
Sorry, it's just
right inside, too.
Adam. Adam, so the market gets wrecked and they run back to the flat.
Hey, what?
She's moving the story on for us.
No, the last bit I remember, they were running. They were running for their lives. And Mickey was being the doctor, so he grabbed Rose's hand and they ran while there were things blasting, going off. Jump in a taxi. I thought initially the taxi driver was going to be somebody dodgy. Like, remember in that Auton episode with John Pertwee where they jumped in the car and the driver was an Auton.
And it does happen later with Donna.
Yes, the Dodgy Text Christmas driver.
later in this episode, with Donna, the taxi driver turns out to be an Auton.
No, the next Christmas episode.
Next Christmas episode.
Do you pay attention?
That's relevant, isn't it?
Right. Pay attention.
Anyway, the doctor is lying in bed and his breath is a bit funny. It comes out a bit orange. And as he breathes out this breath, it goes up into space and...
yellow and sparkly.
And then, after another conversation between Jackie and Rose, they notice that Jackie's Christmas tree is not white anymore. It's sort of rather odd. It looks like it's been made by the Blue Peter team. It's a different Christmas tree. Anyway, it starts rotating.
All you'll need
Master.
Is toilet roll holders.
Master, if I may be pedantic...
What do you mean, if you may be pedantic? As if it's never happened before.
Their flat has changed. They must have moved or something. Their flat is slightly different. The rooms are in different locations, and like the little pass-through into the kitchen is a different location.
It's a total rebuild and refit of it, because they were really unhappy with Rose's bedroom in the first episode. It was way too bright pink and fluffy and stuff. And actually, the bedroom that they do the doctor's scenes in is Rose's old bedroom.
Maybe they just changed rooms around a bit. Anyway, Brandon Moore says, howdy. Howdy, Brandon.
I think that was great. I did not know that. Thank you.
Ooh, I've got a message. Ben, Skype open and ready. Well, this is where we welcome Mr. Shoveler to the proceedings.
Oh, no. We're behind enough as it was.
Hang on, I've got a fly in here. I need to render that fly incapable in a minute. I can never find him on this thing.
Busy trying to herd the cats here.
I'm trying to find a certain person.
You heard mine. They won't leave me alone.
No, that's not him. Hang on. Right, Kirsty, you can say something. What did you think? While
time,
I'm trying to work out, what did you think of the last story that when what's his name? Old Nine
when
became young Ten.
When Eccleston left? Oh, that was a great
episode. I love that episode.
Too late, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, two of you weren't there.
I remember that was. So this is my fond memories of the show was around that time, was the changeover. I mean, I was just getting back into Doctor Who. And all of us, and just the big build-up. You know, and of course, it spoiled it was the sun, but, you know. Because then that went everywhere. It's like, oh, it's Alex in the end. But, no, good. Really don't like Patterson Joseph.
you don't watch Timeless, then?
Oh, him for the Doctor? Like, no.
No.
He's a prat. Every time I see him and stuff, he's a prat.
I can't find
he plays a prat.
A like, certain person. Yeah, he plays a prat in Timeless, doesn't he?
Yeah.
All right. Carry on filling. I'm trying to find Ben's email address because it's the only way I'm able to actually find him. He doesn't appear in the conventional way.
I like when 9 turns into 10, but I object to the kiss. I know that he's just getting the power out there. Oh, yeah. I object to that strongly.
You do?
Good. I think it was a way of getting it out of the way.
I think coming from a love of classic Who, there was never any hint romance between him and any of his companions, and then
that's because we were also uptight about it.
It was just like now we've got people lusting after him, and it's like I get it. He, especially Tennant, he's very very pretty, but I don't agree with it. I love it when he and my favourite stories for him is when he's with Donna.
Oh yeah, yeah. To get Rose out of the way, I'm
friend,
I'm
you know, really cool. I love that.
Yeah,
Doctor's dynamic. But
I mean, I like all the stories with Rose, but I'm glad that we've left that whole thing behind. But it was kind of cool. Yeah. The Doctor got to have a love affair
after all.
Well, so. It'd be picked up again, but with Eleven and his. His carrying on with Clara.
God, I hate that.
But I think really, yeah.
I don't know if it was really the same, though. To me, they always seemed like, just really good. I don't know. It just didn't seem the same as Ten and Rose, where they were all, like, googly for each other. They just seemed, the Doctor really just seemed to, I think he fancied her, but he wasn't going to do anything because of Rose, probably. I don't know.
Sorry, you can carry on talking just a few more moments. I'm just trying to get Ben on.
We can.
Oh, we're still waiting for
Ben. Should I get my tap shoes out? I mean, I could do it.
We could carry on talking about what we're talking about, because you're going
to
end up talking
about... Well, you seem to be better at talking about stuff we're not supposed to be talking about than talking about what she was supposed to be talking about.
Well, I tried to, but Kirby kept interrupting.
Okay, so the Christmas tree is attacking.
Oh, good grief. Right, I'm trying to...
Actually, interesting thing about that, the what they did with the Christmas tree, and they talked about it quite a lot on the DVD, is one of their favourite bits was the spinning Christmas tree going through the house, and how the effects team, they made the Christmas tree shaped hole and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love that.
The thing that always impressed me was the small explosive charges they put in the end of that chair that Mickey holds to make it look like they're being chopped. I'm like, that's brilliant. How do you even do that? And like, the little charges in there. I'm like, that's fantastic.
I think it's wonderful. Fantastic. It's one of my favorite ever little scenes, that is, when it starts just going, la, 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 la.
Right, now, everybody, we've got to go back to business, Debbie, because you told us we've got to be finished by 8:30. And Ben Shoveler's on the show.
I have to be finished by 8:30. You
hey, Ben.
No. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Yeah. He's a very happy Ben after Manchester United won 3-1 against that horrible Spurs today.
Yeah, I'm incredibly happy about that.
Football. Well, we are.
We're 10 seconds into their interaction and they're already in the football.
because
my brother's a big Spurs fan. Yes. And
they complain about us going on.
No, but the Spurs got their just desserts after a Son cheated.
Oh, they did.
Cheated. Was it strawberry cheesecake? if we're talking about sports and desserts, I want to hear about real desserts. I don't.
Can I just
like Robert's team won?
I need to interject.
I have something to interject, and this will change everybody's life.
It doesn't make a mess.
No. Actually, it's absolutely the opposite of that.
Interject.
Just before I came out here, the wife hit me with the terrible news, and this will probably shock some of you, that the Hoover had lost a wheel, and so therefore it wasn't suctioning to the carpet anymore. But I have just received a text message, everybody. Adam, get the Hallelujah chorus ready.
I haven't played that one today.
Tell.
Yeah, go on, Em.
This is the text message.
Oh, sorry, was that too early?
You've shot your load. Yeah, the chorus has gone way too soon there, mate.
Oh, sorry.
She has found the wheel from the Hoover, everybody. Found the wheel from the Hoover. Now, there you go, son. Well done. Hello, everybody. How is everyone?
You know what I have to say about that? I say Eureka.
Anyway, Brandon Moore says, could I have a pack of Doritos? No, you can't have a pack of Doritos.
Think about this. It was said by Kirby.
What?
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Lillian Robin says, I'd kiss the doctor. And
your joke's
hang on, this is the moment with whole show needs.
Okay, sorry.
Because Tim Drury says, Christmas, where's the tree and party hat? Adam, I'm not going to wear that. Not with Kirby on the show. I haven't got time to do stuff like that. But I'll think about it at Christmas time.
You wear a tree? That's stupid.
Well, you say that, but I do seem to remember a couple of trees in episode 2, series 1. So that's how you dress as a tree.
Yes. No.
And
Brandon Moore says, was the wheel in space? Question mark. Back to Doctor Who. Sorry, everybody. We are trying to do an episode
Very
of Doctor
nice.
Who.
I like it.
Right, where are we? So, yeah, the tree's spinning around and smashing through doors, and take a bit of time to leg it. Then Rose realises they need to sort of protect the Doctor, and she whispers something into the Doctor's ear. And he very coolly sits up and sonics the tree. And he summons up a bit of energy to wander outside and look very... what's the word for it?
Pajamery.
No, he looks a bit sort of arrogant. Arrogant as he sort of steps outside.
She doesn't whisper. She says, help me.
She does. All right, Kirby.
She goes, help me. This was my son's favorite.
Kenobi, you're my only hope.
This was my son's favorite part of this episode, because I think it was the second time we watched it, because it was one of those things where I would never let him watch the first showing of it. He can watch the second one. So I had my sonic screwdriver out with me, and the room was pitch black as we were watching this episode. And as David Tennant sits up, I pull out my sonic screwdriver in the dark and hit it at the same time. My son thought that was just phenomenally awesome.
Now very good. Oh, you'd get a ding for that if I knew where my bell was.
22, and that's not so awesome anymore.
I need to find my bell. I'm bellless.
But at the time...
Oh, yeah. That was brilliant.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've got a bell, a sort of digital bell that goes like this. It's not quite as good as the real one. Right then, so anyhow,
Where's your bell?
I've lost it.
That's a bit personal. Oh,
what you need to do is you need to go next door wherever Debbie lives and borrow her bell.
So is that a euphemism for anything?
A little rude.
Where's this going? I'm not sure I want to lift my bell.
Yeah. Anyway, the Father Christmas is getting beamed.
A woman's bell.
Beamed the hell out of there. And where are we? My slider stopped. Oh, it's moving now. And
I've got a bell downstairs.
All right. And then the doctor collapses and has a funny turn, puffs out a bit more of that sort of regeneration energy. And then we have the scene.
Tyler called it gold dust. Why is he blowing out gold dust?
Because it's what's they call
that? It's regeneration, regeneration energy.
It's got another name, though, isn't it? Artron energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, I deserve one of these.
Isn't that TARDIS energy, though?
I thought that was the TARDIS energy was the Artron energy. It's just
Time Lord energy, isn't it? That's what they use to regenerate in everything. It's all Time Lordy stuff. And this is the scene.
I'm having a neuron implosion.
What do you need? Tell me.
Painkillers. I need you to shut up.
I see no Pepto-Bismol. I need liquid paraffin. Vitamin C. Vitamin D. Vitamin E. Easy food. Something simple.
Tea.
Bowl of soup. Nice bowl of soup. Soup and a sandwich. Soup and a little ham sandwich.
I need you to shut up.
Now, what I got from that was Dr. Donna vibes from that scene.
Can I say hats off to Camille Cleary for that whole thing?
That was really, really good seeing that.
She is absolutely brilliant.
She is. Yeah.
And quite attractive as well, I hasten to point out.
Yes, she is.
So the doctor's back in bed and having his brow mopped by... Rose, and they're watching BBC News 24 because there aren't any other BBC any news channels on a BBC related program. And I think
there's
by this...
the American News Network.
Okay. God.
Anyway, ANN, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought where I got up to now. Oh, yeah. So they're. I think they've started to realise that something's afoot. And
a leg.
Yeah, the Prime Minister sort of calls on UNIT.
A hand. Falls to Earth later.
The Prime Minister calls on UNIT for some help and then whispers to a little Welsh bearded friend it was the UNIT bloke to get Torchwood ready. Yes, I do know about Torchwood. Of course, this is the second mention of Torchwood in Doctor Who, but a bit more of a sort of emphatic mention of it because obviously it's going to... Yeah, come to the forefront of this particular series. And then all over the world...
Master?
What?
One thing that I find a little odd is that Harriet Jones says, when she mentions Torchwood...
Yes.
She says, I know I'm not supposed to know about it. I realize that. Not even the United Nations knows. Right. But she's talking to...
To the United Nations.
The United Nations.
Yeah, but UNIT is not United Nations. It's Unified Intelligence Task Force.
Not yet.
What?
Well, no, that's just UNIT that knows. It just doesn't necessarily mean that the UN, the whole UN's going to know.
Yes, thank you, Kirsty.
They're not going to stand up in the central chamber as though they're shouting about it, are they?
Well,
we've got this
back.
Really brilliant secret club, right? Yes. What it does, we detect aliens, but nobody knows about it. Shh.
Yeah. Right, where were we? Oh, yeah, then the Sycorax appear on TV looking a little bit like Queen. And somebody did actually dub over Bohemian Rhapsody to that scene, didn't they?
See, I saw a little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche.
Did you do Fandango?
Thunderbolts and lightning. I'm very, very frightened.
Very, very frightening.
No, I'm not scared by them.
Sycorax, we do the Fandango. Thank you.
That's very good.
While this political...
I don't get ding, though.
Yeah, all right, thank you. While all this political stuff's kicking off, and I forgot to mention Adam Garcia, he's a particularly good tap dancer, isn't he? Shame he doesn't do any tap dancing in this episode. And then they've got this very clever... Because obviously when the TARDIS is sort of out of action, nobody can understand what the Sycorax are saying. So he's got this very clever sort of just written in the script, sort of, what do they call it? It's like a translating machine, isn't it? Which is very accurate, actually. So, but it never appears again. Because the TARDIS
it's tied into the unit computers. It's just a little portable display tied into the unit computers.
Yes, but we've never seen it come up in any other episodes besides this one.
Yeah.
True.
Even though we've had many, many other alien interactions. It's
indeed. Kind of odd. Anyway, so the Sycorax press a button, sort of, or they, I don't know, they do something, and loads of people start wandering out of their homes.
Yeah, they don't press a button. They do this gesture.
Whatever.
Blue energy.
They do something and something happens. I'll see what people are saying.
Press a button.
Be quiet. Billy Kirkbright says, it's the Time Lord essence, according to RTD. Thank you, Billy. And then he said, that's the most irritating scene. That's the one with Jackie. And then Lillian Robbins says, I posted the Sycorax Queen video on the Facebook post. Thank you, Lillian. That's what we want from our listeners. Interaction like that. I'm going to press my digital bell and backdate that one for Debbie because she moaned about it. Right then. So anybody was headed towards some high-rise buildings and then just sort of perched themselves on the edge. I do like the scene. I know it was digitally sort of created where they got that wide shot of the tower block where the flights of stairs either side, the fire exit stairs, and they're all sort of marching up it. I think it's a really effective scene. And to cut a short story long...
Baltic House in Cardiff.
Was it? How fascinating. To cut a long story short... and another thing I quite like, there's a scene that I'm looking down from the roof, and there's like this sort of bolt, this random bolt just on the edge of one of the walls. I thought that was a bit odd. What's that bolt doing there? And then they show scenes from all around the world of people perched on the edge of buildings. And to cut a long story short,
is Kirsty going to mention it or should I?
What?
When they look up at the flats that the building that Rose and Jackie live in, there's no one on the edge of the building there.
Yeah, and they according to Phil Collinson, they're all on the other side of the building.
Yes, I was about to say that.
But okay. I did.
Yes, that's why I asked you to say it.
Yes, oh no, you didn't ask me to say that. You just asked a vague question as if I was going to say something.
God,
I didn't know it was that particular line, so I should get things for that.
Anyway,
ding.
They all turn out to have a certain ding. Blood group, which is was it B plus or something like that? What was it? B positive, or just B? Hello, anybody what? There?
Blood.
A positive.
A positive, was it?
A positive.
A plus. That's not the same.
A positive.
A rhesus positive.
Okay. So is anybody here a rhesus positive?
Yes.
No.
I am.
Oh,
and
dear.
By the way, the
I'm not positive.
I haven't got a clue. We were trying to find my NHS number earlier, and my dad dug my original NHS number out from when I was born in 1975. It didn't work.
Oh, you're a year older than Debbie. Anyway, where was I?
The reference, I actually posted this on the Facebook page, but the reference to the royal family being A positive is incorrect.
Oh, is it? Oh, dear. I'm sure some of them may be.
Can
we move back to where I was? I'm not too surprised, because obviously being related to the royal family, I'm O as well. So where was I?
You do realise that over 1 in 3 people have got some sort of royal connection in their blood.
Yes.
Yep, but the exciting side of it, as I've traced it through 4 or 5 lines of my ancestry, so that's the fun part of it. I know everybody's related or descended from William the Conqueror if you're British, but it's nice to have the proof. Can I get back to Doctor Who?
Hang on, what's going on? The Boris.
Proof in the fact that you're breathing.
I'll be quiet. Billy Kirkbright says, I like your chair, Adam. It looks well comfy. It would be well comfy if I could actually stop fidgeting. And Brandon says, if they're upside down in Australia, shouldn't everyone have gone to the basement? And then he says, will you be going to Philip's funeral? No, I haven't been invited. I'm taking Megan's stance. I'm taking Megan's stance on the funeral.
I'm representing the 20 megabytes for that one.
So hold on a minute. Adam's pregnant. so can't.
Well, I look pregnant. right. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Does Prince know about this?
I'm sure there
are. Is it going to be a royal baby?
I'm sure there are other several million. Anyway, you're not allowed to because it's gathering in large groups and stuff. That's the excuse I'm using.
Yeah. Well, right. I was surprised this morning to hear that they are going to televise it.
Well, I should hope so too, because no one's allowed to go to it.
Absolutely. And the thing that surprises me, Adam, is that after you go on about how connected to the royal family you are, you're not even in the top 30. I'm number 24.
What do you mean? You're number 24.
Well, you're only allowed 30 people to go.
Oh, very good. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, number 24, mate. Yeah. I'm going to pass.
Well, the funny thing is, around is 42. We all know what that is.
Shall we get back to Doctor Who, for goodness sake? Right there. Where are we? What stuff's going on? Yeah, the doctor's obviously not recovering yet, and Rose has a bit of a funny turn. She starts blubbing. She's panicking because this great big rocky, very cool spaceship starts hoving into view, and it really does.
Sylvester Stallone to do with it.
Pardon?
I was just about to say that.
You are.
Sylvester Stallone got to do with this.
What? Yeah.
A great big rocky spaceship.
Anyway, the four of them, the Prime Minister and three of her cronies get to. Beamed up to the sick ratchet, and I love the scene where it's only a helmet, and it takes it off, and he's got just the same sort of face underneath the helmet. And then, of course, he uses
looks like the old mother-in-law, right?
And then he uses
according to the commentary, guy playing the gentleman from Union, the soldier's outfit, auditioned for a Sycorax. That's what he came in for.
Oh,
and he was just not good enough for a Sycorax, or
and they liked
good
him, and they're like, "Hey, no, put this
too good looking to be a Sycorax." I would imagine. Yes.
Speaking of Sycorax, Sycorax is a character from The Tempest, and when we get around to the Shakespeare Code, the Doctor picks up a skull, and he says in front of Shakespeare, "This reminds me of a Sycorax," and that influenced Shakespeare to call the character the Sycorax.
Really?
I love it.
I'm A positive, if anyone wants to know. I had to go look it up.
Andy Nunny says, Billy's basement is the loft as he's upside down. I'm still sort of recoiling from what Billy said about being in Andy Nunny's garden. And then he replies to Lillian saying, I'd kiss the doctor, garden. The current one that is. And then Brandon says, Billy's basement is a prog rock band. Back to Doctor Who. Anyway,
good name for a band, actually.
Not prog rock band. The Sycorax uses a very cool, like a whippy thing, which you wouldn't look out of place in a Marvel movie.
Mr. Whippy.
And use the same special effect the Daleks use for killing people. That very irritating scene, which really is worn out now, when Harriet Jones does this.
Harriet Jones, Prime Minister.
Yes, we know.
Are
you just going to meow throughout everything?
No, I'm not. Anyway, there's a big button. It's not quite red. Oh, Jesus, bloody Christ.
She only does it in one more story after this one.
Does she have
so she does it in...
It's the one
with four stories. Three stories, four episodes.
Whatever. Anyway, there's a big orange button which is
big red there. Button.
It's a big red button.
Well, it's orange. Anyway, the Rose decides that the best place for the Doctor is to get him into the TARDIS. So they drag him and a few sort of picnicky items into the TARDIS, and then Jackie runs out. What's she run out for?
Poor Jackie.
She couldn't carry everything, so she went out to get more.
And that's the time
She dropped bags outside, and then she took the ones.
But the Sycorax have noticed the TARDIS, and they beam the TARDIS up to the ship, and Rose steps out into a rather awkward situation.
And screams.
Yeah. Lillian Roberts says...
That causes Mickey to drop the tea.
Yes, that's right. Lily Rob, this is the hardest story I've had to sit through. It was much easier when I was sitting in the other room.
Do you think it's hard for you?
Is it Rose down? Does Rose shout at Mickey to close the door to make sure he closes the door?
Can I mention something?
Oh God.
No.
Yes, you can.
You know what's really funny? When Mickey and Rose carry the doctor, Rose gets the heavy end.
That was just because he only had a pair of pajamas on. She didn't know what might have flopped out while they were carrying. Where were we?
Maybe we were still regenerating.
It will sit in an umber mine, which is why it's all red. It's actually not lit that way.
What's all red? And we're talking about things flopping out, and you're talking about all red. I'm getting very good news.
I'm trying to get back on task and talk about
the thank story. Thank you, Kirsty.
It's the same. It's the same cave that they used for Time of Angels.
Anyway, Lena Robbins said, I'd kiss the current Doctor too. Andy Nunny says, missed what Billy said about my garden, but after Anita and he left, my chair collapsed. Well, we're talking about, actually, listen to the show, you'll find out. And then Andy Nunny said, Lillian Robin. Billy Kirkbright said, I vaguely recall that, Andy. That means that, I think that's implying some alcoholic misuse.
Yes. Kind of,
and
misuse. You know, it sounds like they did exactly what you meant to do with alcohol. that's not misuse. That's correct use.
So, like Kirby said, yes, they knocked the flask, or Mickey knocks the flask over, and loads of tea drips through into Time Lord technology. And Rose tries to, for some reason, they decide she can speak for the planet. And I quite like this scene, because obviously we haven't had anybody being able to understand what the Sick Rats are saying, apart from Adam Garcia and his little translation device. And gradually, suddenly, you start hearing. He's talking the translation, and then we hear them speaking in English. Very, very good scene, because we know at this point the Doctor's
I would not soil my tongue with the words of your planet or something like that.
That's another one of the quotes
you're
you like.
You're speaking English. You're speaking English.
Yes,
no,
that's
I'm
it.
Not.
Anyway, there's a very iconic scene in which number 10 opens the doors of the TARDIS and comes out and basically spends about 5 minutes.
Did you notice something?
What?
For that great reveal, one of the Sycorax is actually moving to one side to allow the camera to see him.
Yes, okay. That's all part of theatre.
And it looked a bit naff, if you ask me.
Kirsty.
Yes.
They filmed for Christmas Invasion at Clearwell Caves, Ancient Iron Mines, on 10th to the 13th and the 15th of August, 2005. And they were back there 3rd through the 8th, August, 2009, for Time of Angels.
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make us
have a list.
He's going to ignore us.
You will go through all your enemies.
I don't think we've ever played that piece of music three times. Got a funny feeling it is actually going to manage a third outing on this particular episode.
You need something similar for Kirsty.
No, I do not. Anyway, as number
I'm
10 is...
I'm entertaining.
As number 10...
Okay,
shut up!
I put myself on mute again.
As number 10 is wondering...
I don't ever recall asking you to be removed from mute, actually.
Oh, that is funny. Anyway,
things haven't changed around here. I can see that.
I'm getting hot and sweaty now because that was too funny.
I'm on the other side of my garden.
You have got a dressing gown on, have you?
You moved a shed, or is that a new?
For
shed?
The American listeners, that's a robe.
I've moved my current shed, and I'm now building my new recording studio. But at the same time as doing
it's
that,
it's a shed, right?
You can call it is a shed, but it's not a.
We're back to sheds.
It looks like a shed from the outside. Put it like that. It's bigger on the inside.
Right. Okay. As long as it looks like a shed, I'm really happy with this entire.
Anyway, place. Debbie's got 40 minutes left. Where are we? There's a scene in which the Doctor's doing his sort of "I'm back, I'm well again" bits, and there's a scene where Rose sort of looks him up and down in a rather provocative way, which is obviously a sign of things to come. Anyway. He does a great scene of being the Doctor, and then it leads to him challenging the Sycorax bloke to a duel, and the very entertaining little duel it was, which also leads to his arm being cut off.
Now, pressing the button and things like that.
Yes, it leads to his arm being cut off. Yeah, because obviously he presses the button and everybody's okay after that. Or they sort of come round and they step away from
totally
the edges and stuff like
over
that.
The line
I'm trying to move the because actually we actually have been running longer than the episode was itself.
Master.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I had to put myself on mute, but I had to point out that outside the spaceship when they're out there battling, they are actually at Berry Docks, Berry Island. So they're very close to where Seventh Doctor, Doctor Bannerman.
Kirby, stop being silly. I'm not talking about.
There's pedantry and then there's silly.
We should give Kirby a bow.
Anyway, so his arm gets cut off and falls down. Of course, you know what happens to the arm later on. And he grows it back in a very...
It's a hand.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's a pedant. What are you surprised?
And he grows it back in a very arrogant way. And he basically wins the battle and he sort of gets them all to leave, basically. And that should really have been the end of the story. But Harriet Jones had other ideas. And after sort of a friendly hug, tells her little friend to tell Torchwood to blow the vajeezers out of the spaceship. Right. And they're all deaded. And that's murder, apparently. But obviously she has her reasons because she saw two of her friends murdered by the Sycorax a few minutes earlier. So,
and she was studying what the Brigadier did to the Silurians.
Indeed. But Doctor's not happy, so he whispers in Adam Garcia's ear, isn't it, don't you think she looks tired or something like that?
Don't you think she looks tired?
That's terrific, yeah.
Mm.
Don't you think she looks tired?
Six words.
Yeah.
And I love the way Tennant says them, too.
He finds his costume in a very cool costume room. I love the spiral staircases and stuff. They're very, very...
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I don't see it again, but... And then it's Christmas dinner time, which is in the evening.
And the fact that his Casanova outfit costume is in there.
Was it?
Oh. Yeah.
Apparently every Doctor's costume is represented in there, according to the commentary on the Blu-ray.
They do that a lot.
But I've never been able to spot them. In the Fourth Doctor scarf is wrong.
Anyway, well, no, what stuff coming through on the feed? Andy Nunny says, "How very dare you, Adam?" And then he said, "I'm in." Sorry to interrupt. I do apologise. Then he says, "I'm in my TARDIS dressing gown after a bath," and then he says, "Stop swearing, please, Adam. I do apologise, but I was pushed to it." And then Brandon Moore says, "Jack likes blowing the bejesus out of aliens." He does indeed. Did somebody bark then?
Ooh. Yes, my dog is jealous that the door is closed.
Aww. Anyway, they all step outside and it's snowing, but it's not snow. It's the remains of the cigarettes floating down.
Have you had snow today, Adam?
No, well, I don't think so. Did you have snow?
We've had two lots of snow today.
Yeah, we've had a bit of snow down here today.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen any. I've been working.
While we're pausing for the weather report, the scarf does have around his neck actually belongs to Phil Collinson.
Marvellous. Yeah, so anyway, of course, Rose is suddenly, you can see she's sort of got
Phil
the Collins. Eye for the Doctor now. And
Collins.
And, of course, this is a moment in which Mickey realises that it really is the end for them as a romantic couple. And off they go. And we see a little preview of the forthcoming series, which I seem to remember at the time was exceptionally exciting.
It's a wonderful preview. I looked at them and I'm going, this is a great season series.
So I can't believe we actually managed to sort of get through it, although I can't really remember what it was all about, because you lot were talking about a load of rubbish in between all of that. But
was the episode started with a recap of how the previous series had ended. Then you got the titles.
Yeah.
And
yeah, all right, we've done all that.
Shall I carry...
please don't.
Oh, you said you couldn't remember what happened. I was just giving you a brief...
Anyway, I'll just say what I think about the story.
I thought that was quite kind of you.
Never really been keen
considering
on
Christmas.
For Christ's sake.
Memory failures.
I've never been that keen on Christmas specials.
We really haven't got time to go into primary failures.
No, we haven't. But I have
a short podcast.
As I say, not keen on Christmas specials. This was okay. I just was really excited at the time to see Tennant come in. And, of course, really in the episode, we don't really see him until... the proper Doctor, until the last 5-10 minutes, which is a bit of a shame. All in all, it was okay, but sort of middling sort of episode for me. Not one I think I know where I much go and watch now, Christmas Invasion. I'll just watch it, like, you know, when we're doing completionist type things. But it is exciting to see that we've got, you know, quite a few David Tennant episodes to review now, because I do like the David Tennant era. What did you think of it, Ben?
I kind of agree with you. Looking back at it, it's not the best. But at the time, it was fantastic because, you know, this was the first Doctor Who Christmas special. And to be getting Doctor Who on Christmas Day was just like, it was like Christmas had come, which obviously it had. which is why they've done a Christmas special. So really, it all kind of works out nicely, because putting this episode in June would have been rubbish. But yeah, as a whole, the episode, yeah, it's all right. It's not the best. I kind of liked the fact they didn't bring David Tennant into it as the Doctor until 10 minutes to go, because I think that built up your expectations a little bit more. That's seemingly what I remember from the time. So no, I mean, yeah, not fantastic, but as I said at the time, because you had Doctor Who at Christmas for the first time ever, it was fantastic and much enjoyed on its first viewing.
Thank you, Ben. Debbie, what did you think?
I really enjoyed this. Remember watching it the first time round and just being so happy that he's pretty much out of it for the whole story, but he nails Doctor Who straight away. He doesn't have to spend time in the character. He is Doctor Who, and that's what was so joyous about the Tennant era, because he just was him straight away. He was the Doctor, and it was very reminiscent of when we moved to colour, because obviously when it's the dynamics changed when John Pertwee came in, and it was great to see this change from the seriousness of Nine to a little bit more lightness. But over the season, obviously, he says sorry way too much. Yes. But throughout this episode, it is great that you sort of get an understanding that this Doctor was part created by Rose, and that's what Russell T. Davis has said, because of what happened with the Bad Wolf. So they are supposed to have a closer relationship. Yes. I was fervently hoping not a romance.
I didn't really think of that before, Debbie, you know. It's the first time it's ever dawned on me that why there would be that sort of that big connection between the two, because of that.
Well, yeah, Russell T. Davis alluded to it.
He may well have done, but I didn't sort of, it didn't stick in my mind, I'm afraid. So thank you for pointing that out. And I haven't got my real bell, but I do hope that this will suffice. Oh, it didn't play it properly. Never mind. Bad luck.
Shop's open. That's tomorrow.
Oh, I found my bell. Oh.
Something's broken.
I love the use of the music. My favourite bit is the Christmas tree spin into the la la la. It's such a jolly way to die. And I just think the whole episode is just. I remember it was Christmas. I'm watching Doctor Who at Christmas, and it's become a huge tradition in our family now. No, we're going home. Why aren't you staying at ours for the evening? We're not going to eat till 9. It's like Doctor Who's on, and none of you want to watch it. We're going home to watch it. That sort of thing. So yeah, it's become a thing. We've actually changed our Christmas day round. We now have breakfast with the family, and then we have our own dinner in the evening, so we can be here to watch it. So that's devotion for you, but I really enjoy this one.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That's the Christmas family spirit right there.
And it is indeed, yes. Well, you can have this little gold medal.
Everybody gets hammered.
There we go, Debbie. Let's see the little gold medal.
It's nice to talk to them in the morning.
Gold medal for Debbie.
Surely you just then get hammered in the morning if you're having your Christmas early.
Yeah. Right then. Where do we go? Billy Kirkbright says, it's now snow. It's the residue. Sorry, I think he meant to that. It's not. It's not snow. It's the residue from that shot down alien ship.
Yeah,
and then he says, and he changed it to not. And then he said, all of the Christmas specials, this one is the best for me. Oh dear, that doesn't say much for the other ones, does it? And then Brandon Moore says, of all the best specials, this one is the Christmas for me. Oh dear. Okay then.
Can I just say, it definitely was snow. Because yes. As far as I've checked the news today, there was no alien spaceship. Sorry, you're talking about the TV programme.
I've got my bell back. Kirby, have you got your mute off?
Yes.
That's just as well. What do you think of it then?
I'm joking.
He wouldn't be able to say if he had his mute on, would he?
That's very good, yeah. That's why I say, stay quiet until I talk to you.
I've been staying quiet.
I've missed you, Kirby.
I've missed him too. I haven't spoken to him for a week.
If I may be pedantic,
Kirby, you talk now.
Something that that Ben said a few minutes ago, that this was the first Christmas special, is incorrect.
It was, though. You're just talking about the blimmin' Unquiet Dead, which wasn't a proper Christmas special. It was just set at Christmas.
No.
No. Oh, you're talking about the Hartnell story.
The Daleks Master Plan, Feast of Stephen.
Oh, Jesus.
1965.
Hell, of course.
So okay. There.
Okay.
Well, also, of the modern Christmas specials, this has always been my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why.
Oh, I'd agree with that, yeah.
It is maybe because it was the first. I'm very fond of this one. I was just grinning through the three times I watched it the past week. I wish grinning. I'd watched it with... What?
He said grinning. I said, what do you do when you're happy?
Grinning,
don't,
yes.
Don't get a lot of that on this story. This podcast. Yeah, carry on.
Oh, you do, Adam.
But I've now been challenged by Kirsty. I'm going to have to start listening to the commentary again. Because obviously she gets a lot of her... panic stuff from the commentary.
I'm surprised you don't. Excuse me, Kirby. Don't you watch the info text and stuff like that? When
there is no info text on modern Doctor Who.
Oh, is there not? That's a shame, isn't it?
I know. It's really disappointing. I did put a little bit of panic stuff in the to respond to my request for feedback.
Yeah,
I'll just say it here. Later.
I could say it here or I could wait.
Save it.
Oh, I'll save it.
If you don't save it, you're going to say it twice and then I'll get annoyed.
That must have been Robert who just... No, it was a different
no,
Robert.
No, it's not me.
Because all of a sudden my screen jumped.
Right.
I once heard someone say that the iconic speeches at the end of the first episodes for 10 and 11 had the exact same phrase, it is defended, that I double-checked, and I put a picture of, including the subtitles. They're similar, but not exactly the same. The 10 says it is defended, and 11 says, is this world protected?
Wow.
So not quite the same. I also say, what do you want from me? I'm pedantic. It bothers me that at one point the Doctor speaks to the leader of the Sycorax in Sycoraxic, and the TARDIS doesn't translate it.
Because he doesn't want it to translate it. That was the point.
And the translation done by the TARDIS is that everyone hears English, but the Sycorax's mouths are forming English words.
Oh, God.
The same thing as a universal translator.
Doesn't that happen?
Stuff.
Exactly.
Yes.
I would like to raise a point here.
Yes.
It's a science fiction reality
TV show. Yeah.
Anyway, I love this. I love this one. This is...
Hold on.
We're about to enter one of my favorite periods of Doctor Who.
Okay. Yes, Ben.
I've just been checking, and the Sycoraxians... Yeah. Are absolutely fine with the way they were portrayed during the translation period. So it's all right, Kerb. You don't need to worry about it, mate.
Billy Kirkbright says, of all the Christmas specials, this one is the best for me. Brandon Moore said, of all the best specials, I've done that one, haven't I? Let's go back to this one. Billy Kirkbright, you're correct, Adam. The other Christmas specials are rubbish. Not a fan. We'll see.
There's a couple of good ones, although the one everyone says is the greatest one, A Christmas Carol, I hate.
But wasn't the Time of the Doctor and the Day of the Doctor, were they not Christmas specials? Or were they just played on the 23rd of November and they don't count?
That doesn't count.
But hang on. Oh, I'm not going to go there. But I quite like the episode where I like Matt Smith's last story quite a lot. But it did drag on a bit.
Well, we all agree on which is the worst Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. But I'm looking forward to watching it, funny enough, in an ironic sort of way.
The one where the Doctor falls to Earth from orbit.
Yeah,
and...
the Doctor. It's called The Doctor, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I do remember.
The worst one, surely you've got to be the one with Jodie Whittaker in it.
She hasn't done one. She hasn't done a Christmas special, has she? Unless that's the one where she arrived. That was on New Year's Day, though, wasn't it?
A festive holiday period special.
Okay.
Because it was on January the 1st, was it? I don't know. I didn't watch it. Was it any good? Probably not. Oh, shut up.
No, too early.
Kirsty. I've lost track of where I was. Have we done you yet? Not in a biblical sense, obviously.
You haven't had that pleasure.
Okay. What did you think of it?
This is probably one of our most watched New Who episodes ever, just because if I was ever feeling in a bad mood or anything, just couldn't think of what to watch. Putting this, just the opening minutes of it, the TARDIS crashing into the Powell estate, seeing the TARDIS actually spinning around in the air and then crashing to the ground was, I have rewound that and rewatched it so many times, because this and the next Christmas episode, the TARDIS does neat stuff, and I like to see it just rather than just sitting there on the pavement or flying in a space background. You know, it's doing something, and it's like it's doing something really cool that I've never seen it do before on the screen, and that just, you know, makes it awesome. And plus, Liam was, you know, about 9 or 10 when this came out, and so it was you know, perfect Christmas viewing. Actually, I think the following year, when we went to watch the next Christmas special, everybody came over for Christmas dinner to our house, and my father-in-law complained vociferously that I was turning the TV on. And I said, excuse me, but you're in my house, and this is our tradition.
Hmm.
Oh, I shouldn't have the TV on Christmas. I'm like, in your house. In our house, we watch Doctor Who on Christmas Day.
Yay!
How long does it take to create a tradition?
One year.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do it again the year after, apparently it's a tradition.
No, that can't be. No, that's a coincidence, surely.
Isla declared.
It's a habit after 1 year, becomes a tradition after two.
Yes.
New Christmas tradition, really?
No, it's got to be 2 years. So you've got to do it three times for it to be a tradition. Because twice isn't enough, surely.
Look. Let me explain this to you.
Sorry, I wasn't being Kirby.
Yes, you were. There's Kirby. There's only room for two of us. I'm sorry, but that space has been filled in pedantism.
Sorry.
You just had to go back to your shed.
I know my place. That's,
yeah, don't step out of turn.
No, absolutely fine. I shall sit back and... feel very sorry for
that. Anyway, yes.
I did have another cracking point.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you had a cracking point?
Yeah, I did, yes.
What was that? Yeah. What's the second one?
Get some ointment for that.
But I've now forgotten what that was. But it
was. Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Hold on, this will be a really good bit of podcastery here.
Mm. Have you written it down?
What was it?
Give them space.
Are we talking about traditions, Ben?
Yeah, we were.
Call it a tradition, it's a tradition.
Yes.
I can't remember. It might come back to me, but it was really quite important.
I thought maybe some lift music might be appropriate. For about 5 seconds before I get
done. We only have 20 minutes left before we have to... stop because of Debbie.
Yeah, and the battery on my camera seems to be going a bit low.
You're making it sound like I'm being mean.
It's spoiling our fun.
We want to give her the last 2 minutes where she has to read Adam Butcher's dissertation. So if we just give her as smallest amount of time possible and see if she can do it.
Yeah.
Make sure it's a 5-minute thing.
Yeah, she's hoping her time will be up before it gets read.
No, not at all. I completely forgot about that.
Anyway, Kirsty, where did you get up to, Kirsty?
I was done, I think.
Were you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's really good, and we love it, and David Tennant's awesome, and yeah. And Harriet Jones, we know who you are. Just does everything you want on Christmas. I mean, really, yes. It is a good deal of fun, and you don't get an awful lot of Doctor, but you just get this build-up of suspense because you've been waiting till now to see the new one, and you still have to wait to see him in action. It's just...
Yeah.
It reminds me of Davison, like, when he, you know, he gets carried around in Castro Valva and he's not quite there.
Yeah.
And then
he
becomes the Doctor, and you're like, yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Same effect. And I just wish
they wouldn't keep doing it every single year, but there you go. Who do we... Oh, yeah, Robert, what did you think?
Pretty much the same as what's been said, actually.
Well, the thing is, some of us have said that it's not the best Christmas special.
Uh, Well, I don't really compare them, to tell you the truth. I mean, I just watch them and...
Well, it would be nice if you would compare them.
Yeah.
It would make the podcast worth doing.
Yes, really. Yes.
For the first time ever.
Like some content there.
I mean, the things that...
It's nearly 500 episodes in.
Now you're taking exception.
No.
And United won today, so I should be in a good mood.
Kirsty's just mentioned it when, you know, you get a bit of the Doctor in it, very much like Hester of Ever, but I still don't like that sort of storytelling. I mean, it's a bit like watching Pertwee, you know, in bed, and he's not, hello, you know...
Not quite like that, Ben, for God's sake.
I don't recall not... seeing that video.
It's Spearhead from Space, okay? In
Spear who from Space?
This is the way that works. Kirby and I do pedantism.
And Robert and Ben do smut. Yeah.
Is this called vintage Doctor Who?
No, it's called vintage 20 megabyte.
Oh, how right you are, sir.
Carry on, Robert.
Yeah, I would have loved more of Tennant in it. But one thing that bugs me, and I was watching a bit of his video diaries today, and I really love hearing him talk in his normal accent. I think when he becomes a Doctor and doing that awful accent that he has to do, it stifles his acting, I reckon. And I hate that campness that comes across when he's acting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that really annoys me. I you know, if he could act properly with his accent, I would have liked it more. And I
can't imagine a Scottish accented Doctor working.
We've known that too.
Nah.
I mean, I don't think I'd have tried it for a long time. I mean, it's just tough.
It's like having a Doctor that plays a spoon.
Ah.
And that wipes out 7 and 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you're wiping out. Who are you, Stephen Moffat?
No, he doesn't wipe things out. They just fall down plot holes.
Or just rewrites it and changes so it fits his canon.
Yeah.
I'm sure, put
those claws away. Bloody hell.
I'm sure Ben's going to love it when we get to the Moffat era.
I won't be here.
Yeah.
You'll suddenly find me abstaining again. I'll take the fifth.
Are you there yet, Robert?
And I hate,
oh, sorry.
I hate the... like Debbie, I hate the pining over the Doctor. No, it's in his head.
Wrong.
So, yeah.
Happened in Doctor Who to the Doctor.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's a fun enough episode. Mm-hmm. And,
that's what I said.
Yeah, a bit mean what happened at the end. And nothing that bugs me is that we don't sort of like know how long Rose has been away because, you know, suddenly they've got this... problem that they've got to monitor up in space and they've got a rocket going up to look, you know, check things out, and all this sort of thing is like happening so fast, you know, it's got to be in some kind of while before things.
Thank you.
And that's it.
Is that it? Oh, that's it. Sorry. Okay, what we got coming through on the thing. Rob Evans Jr. says, hi all. And then he says, every time I hear that music, I feel like I'm showing in a mall. Lillian Robbins says, plus there's watching the Pertwee showering. Ooh. At least she's talking about Spearhead from Space.
I think you meant shopping in a mall.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Debbie. And then Robert Evans Jr. says, shopping, I mean.
Oh, Debbie, you were right.
Yeah,
Debbie,
she's read it. She's a step ahead. And Billy Kirkbright says Lillian. I think that's a Tony man. And Lillian said John Barrowman has been posting TikToks of pronouncing common words in a Scottish way. Well, he should know as he's Scottish. And then Robert Vence Jr. says David Tennant's accent is an imprint of Rose. Oh, well. Again, excellent point.
Just speak the way he does.
You see, it's an imprint. So, yes. Anyway, so this is what everybody's been waiting for. We're sort of 1 hour and 20 minutes into the show.
Okay, well, I'm going to disappoint again because I really like this one.
Hey, you disappoint again. Yeah, carry on.
Now, what I did read is that Russell T. Davies and the producers and everybody were worried that this transition to another doctor may not be successful because people were just settling into the doctor being Eccleston. And they were fearful that the audience would not take to there being a new doctor. It's kind of the crisis of one into two all over again. So they put out a Children in Need special, which maybe the Blu-rays have it, that preceded this episode of the doctor right after his regeneration, acting all crazy in the TARDIS. Because
oh, that's right.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's on the
DVDs,
too.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, he tries to say fantastic, but he can't say it. And just this crazy little thing that goes on for 7 or 8 years.
I remember that. Well done.
Yeah, supposed to help, especially children, anybody else, you know, who needed a little bit of a transition moment, so that when he shows up in the beginning of this one, you know, that one has been seen. So everybody knows, you know, that this has been kind of a rough transition for him. And Russell T. Davies deliberately wrote this episode to keep the doctor out of it for more than half of it, because he wanted to show the world or he wanted to show the audience, you know, what the world would be like if we had alien invasion and no doctor to do anything about it. You know, what would probably happen, so that would build the tension, that would build the yearning, you know, for the doctor to show up. So when he does show up, then the audience wouldn't even care that much. It's like, oh, the doctor, he's finally here and he's going to save everybody. So that is supposed to be the way that he helped the audience also make the transition to the new doctor. And I found that very interesting that they were actually worried that people would not take to the new doctor.
It's just history repeating, though, isn't it? It's just said from one to two.
Yeah.
Which is funny, then, because, you know, live and learn. That's what you should do. You should live and learn. Now, I've got a prime example of that, because about 3 months ago, me and my mate John were having some chips at lunch, and we stopped at this chippy, and we bought a bag of chips each, and there was a huge amount of chips in each bag. And we only ate half of our portions each. And after we'd done that, we looked at each other and we said, next time we do this, mate, we'll just buy a bag between us. Because we're getting old, you know, like old men do now. They just buy a bag of chips between. So,
hope you've got a face mask on if you're doing those sneezes.
And then this week, on Wednesday, we were both hungry. So we said, oh, let's go to the chippy down the road. So we went to the chippy down the road from where we were. And I ordered two bags of chips. And this time, there was even more chips in each portion than there was the first time. We ate even less. It was a case of after 20 minutes, we both looked at each other and we just said, they're going up. These chips are increasing somehow. And then we looked at each other and we said, live and learn. And we didn't. So there's an important thing for life. By the way, didn't lose any weight on the diet last week.
Still fail to see the relevance, but it was quite funny. Sorry, Magic is currently residing in his little corner where the chair fell on him, so he hasn't learned anything. So I'll just give a bit of a spotlight for any of the viewers who want to see
him. If it falls on him again, say Ben's chips. That's all you need to say.
Yes, Mary, you were saying.
Sorry, Mary.
And this episode also deliberately had a lot of references to current popular things. Also as a pull the audience in kind of thing. There's that shot of the original shot of the Sycorax looking like the shot of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. And there's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference.
Is there?
Yeah, there
is. Probably there is, yes, there is. He says about Arthur Dent, doesn't he?
And the doctor quotes the Lion King. And there's a Hogwarts.
What?
in the closet when the doctor is looking for his thing. So there's just all these references that I wonder, you know, a few decades on, if people will even appreciate them. But at the time, it kind of gave people a lot of identifying points to keep them interested. My laugh out loud moment was when Harry Jones, when they're in the middle of this blood type A crisis, and she turns and says, she asks about the royal family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the timing of it when she goes, oh, they're out on the roof.
They're on the roof. Understatement at its greatest. Yeah.
And again, I think we already mentioned it. Jackie rattling off all these solutions to him. Brought to mind that wonderful scene of Donna and the doctor, you know, doing it again later.
Yes.
So one thing I wondered about, it was here the pilot fish, the Santas, are going after Rose and Mickey in the market when there is this totally incapacitated doctor and Jackie nearby in a flat. They keep on right for him, you know, but they didn't. They played around in the market with Rose and Mickey. And
science fiction fantasy TV program.
That's all good. Yeah. Ta-da.
You lot, seriously.
What?
I wondered about the translation, the TARDIS translation circuit. I mean, I'm wondering, why isn't it working? Why isn't it working? And then it's suddenly working was a clue to everybody that, oh, the doctor is awake, you know, with us. Yes. And, but I never knew the circuit to activate only when the doctor was around.
For the benefit of this episode, it did.
This does seem to be the point where they start making the doctor and the TARDIS symbiotic.
That's possible.
I don't know about that, but it does make it seem like they're putting them like they're like combined in some way.
What?
So that's it.
Thank you, Mary. Now, I've got stuff coming through on the feed. It's Robert Vince Jr. Vote Saxon will be coming up later. So that's the political, obviously, wing of this podcast. Of course, politics isn't allowed on the show, but we just mentioned it there. And Lillian Roman says, Eccles cakes, don't like them. And then she says...
We used to call Eccles cakes fly cakes.
Yuck. The Doctor will save me, says Osgood.
Currents all look like dead flies.
Yeah, they will.
Sorry, the listeners would have heard that, Lillian. Don't rubby. Don't worry. No, Brandon Moore. Oh, sorry. Billy Kirkbright says, Brandon Moore, I try and often fail according to my kids. I don't know what they're talking about them on. And then Robert Vince Jr. says, Mary talking about the episode Turn Left. There you go, Mary.
No, it's not Turn Left. It's at the Unicorn and the Wasp.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right, so we're going to do things in a slightly...
Yeah, the bit when they're trying to identify what he needs to drink to get rid of the poison. Exactly.
Indeed. Yeah. Oh, dear, I've just lost my picture there. So we're going to do things, the feedback, in a slightly different order, because Debbie has got 6 minutes left. So, Debbie, you may impart the stuff you've got to dictate to us at some point today. Would you like some lift music?
Now, I'm trying to.
Begin in person.
Would you like a jingle to fill the gap? There you are. There's a jingle to fill the gap.
Hang on.
The past is another country. 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
Right there now.
I've been in here. I think Ben thought it was Kirby about to speak.
Wait, I don't know what you mean by that.
Bonehead from space or change, my dear.
And are you going to say anything yet?
Ooh, she's got 5 minutes left now.
Good timing, Mr. Kirby.
Well.
Bonehead from space or change, my dear, and it seems like a season too soon, but maybe not. Dear 20 Megabyters, The Christmas Invasion is, of course, a closely studied consideration of whether it is healthy to rely upon a benefactor to ensure your interests and fend off exogenous threats, or should you make collective endogenous efforts to ensure that if that benefactor is not available at the moment of existential crisis, you are prepared. It further considers whether it is adequate to maintain a defensive pose to fend off such threats, such as employed by the Doctor, or should a more aggressive destruction of the threat be enacted. Clearly, the implication made is that the former is morally superior to the latter. Possibly this thesis is particularly made because the antagonists here are in fact more a bully for whom the humiliation is an adequate redress to their intimidations, rather than one more committed to carrying through malevolent acts regardless of the horror of the consequences. It should be noted that while some might say that having the Doctor unconscious through much of the story is a mistake, in fact this tantric form of Doctor Who is in a fine established tradition, well employed for several Doctors' early moments in the past. We also learn that Harriet Jones's golden age didn't in fact last for an age, seems more like just a few months. This may be considered the Harriet Jones's golden age dating controversy. All in all, The Christmas Invasion is a fairly limited tale, which provides a good backdrop to introduce our new Doctor and showcases the strong supporting cast established in the previous season. They help in the transition that regeneration inevitably is, and whilst we must wonder how fantastic the next season may have been if Eccleston had been there to move closer to a more recovered Doctor, the change is expertly handled and re-establishes the key feature of the programme, regeneration, in the public's expectations.
Indeed.
The story has a very good mix of the dramatic and the comic, which is very much part of Doctor Who, especially in the Doctor's short interactions prior to waking properly. Once we get to the end sequence of the Doctor feeling his way into character, it is clear we have a very special, talented and appropriate actor for the part. This story is perhaps 7 minutes too short, as the Pudsey cutaway episode done for children in need could have and should have been integrated into the opening sequence.
Yes.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Perpendicular Trampoline of Egotism, or A Medical Catastrophe. Those are my thoughts. Alan T.
Thank you, Debbie. That's well done. I suppose you deserve one of these. Not quite as good as Ben's reiteration of...
With 3 minutes to spare.
Yeah, and that means you can listen to some of Kirby's official section of the show. Kirby, over to you.
Yeah, speaking of...
Kirby, start now.
Speaking of Arthur Jent, my request
Kirby,
for feedback...
Now, be good.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Included the Arthur Dent reference. So Robert Wince Jr. says every time you see a big red button, you want to press it.
Absolutely.
So I posted a picture of the big red button of
well
the moment
done,
there, the doctor.
Well done.
That's why they won't let me into Staples anymore.
All right, you can have one of these. Hang on, where is it? I can't find it. Oh dear, never mind.
Robert Wince Jr. liked my big red button with a big smile.
Well, somebody had to. This one's for Kirsty.
Bloody hell, Adam. Seriously.
What?
The joke was about 4 years ago.
Yeah, but it took me that long to find the blooming sound effect.
That means Max being a bit slow.
It's not. It's me trying to find the sound effect.
That joke came out before Jodie became the new Doctor.
Have you listened to the 20 Megabyte podcast before?
Oh, many, many times. But the thing is, when you do it on pause, the gaps seem much longer anyway.
May I continue?
Yes, sure. No. Welcome to my world, by the way.
We really thought you'd finish.
Robert Wince Jr.
Is the mute button off?
Kirby, this is what you get.
Robert Wince Jr.'s review.
Can anyone else hear?
This is the first story of the David Tennant era.
Really?
And the Doctor is going through the regeneration process, only awake for a third of the story. First of the Christmas specials, Rose does a lot of crying in this one. We get everything in this one. Harriet Jones, Sycorax, Big Red Button, and Blood Control. T fumes tend to bring the Doctor out of it, like the song for 10 in this one.
It always wakes me up, T fumes.
Yeah, the song for 10 is playing during the wardrobe section.
Yes.
By the way.
3, 2, 1.
Bye.
Oh, bye, Debbie. Oh, I'm going to miss it.
Sounded.
I'm back in mum mode. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Debbie.
15 seconds late. 15 seconds that could have been spent with her kids.
Think about that. Like,
bad mum. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm blaming Kirby for this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the song for 10 in this one. Also a tribute to Arthur Dent. Really?
Yeah.
Torchwood is around, meaning Jack is around at least two versions and one buried in the ground.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, I'll mention this later. A great story and a sword fight to boot. one of my favorite next to the next Doctor. I like the suit and the duster at the end. Mm-hmm. We also get an upcoming trailer at the end. My rating is 4 out of 5. Sycorax rocks!
Thank you,
Kirby. And there's a picture of the Sycorax costume.
It's
from
8:31. Should anyone need to leave at 8:31?
No, I'm all right, thank you.
Your next time check will be at 8:32.
This is going to be a theme now, I can feel it.
Yes.
not a theme.
I respond to Robert Wince Jr. with Sycorax rocks. Of course they do, since they live in Big Flying Rock. But I'm live. Thank you, live. Thank you. I'm here each week.
All right, that'll, thank you. That'll do.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
It's an unavoidable fact.
Yes.
Billy Kirkbright says, "My review. I liked it."
Oh, very very to the point.
Robert Wince Jr. says, "Billy Kirkbright, LOL, straight and to the point." And he gives another big smiley face.
There's something going on there.
Huh?
There's something going on there.
Yes.
Yeah, you mark my words. I know that Billy Kirkbright. You mark my words.
He's in the middle of a cyclone right now.
Indeed.
I'm glad he's safe. Yeah. Billy, I'm glad.
Neil James, The Christmas Invasion. We have a new doctor. So let's plunk him in bed for 40 minutes until we decide what the hell to do with him. Luckily, some really fun stuff happens when Tennant has a snooze. I love the TARDIS crashing down on Rose's estate, and the Santa attack at the Christmas market is brilliant. I'm sure some people have issues with the killer Christmas tree, but I think it's hilarious. I've never heard of anyone.
The people who got killed by the Christmas tree probably have issues with it.
I enjoy spending time with Jackie, Rose, and Mickey. It seems like they figure out how to write Mickey now, and it's a definite improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. The Sycorax look wonderful, and their ship is badass.
It is.
They're real... What?
It is.
Okay. They are a real presence, and I'm surprised their race haven't returned to the TV series. The sequence of seemingly random people... What?
No, I said they all got killed.
They did.
The sequence of seemingly random people walking out of their homes and heading for the nearest roof is both cinematic and frightening.
It is.
Other memorable moments include the Sycorax leader starting to speak English mid-sentence, the sword fight, and Harriet and Torchwood getting trigger-happy, very reminiscent of the end of the Doctor Who and the Silurians when the brig bombs the caves.
Yep.
Eccleston is a very tough act to follow, but David Tennant makes a good first impression when he finally turns up. I'm not the biggest... 10th Doctor fan, as will become clear going forward, but he's all right, isn't he? This is my favorite Christmas special, and Song for 10 is a festive banger. 4 stars out of 5. And Robert Wince Jr. says to Neil James, reminding me of Donna missing out on the important events. I will skip my comment I said earlier.
Splendid.
As well.
Brandon Moore says, don't have time to record the audio today, so I'll give you some blurb instead.
Excellent.
For which I'm assuming he sent it to you.
No.
Anyway, because he never posted it.
No, he didn't send it. That's why he's put it there, you daft man. Are you not going to read it?
I don't see it.
What?
Refresh.
Okay, let me refresh.
What, it says, oh, go on, Rose, tell us another one, because I swear I could listen to it all day.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry.
Let me see if I can find it.
It's underneath Ian Kirk's script.
Oh, wait, okay, so I haven't gotten there yet.
No.
Never mind. I posted a picture, since he said blurb, I posted a picture of the lionfish from Torchwood. It's a joke.
Is it? Oh, sorry.
Robert
Adam
Haynes
will do the
doesn't remember the doesn't remember the lionfish, the Billy Kirkbright.
I don't. Cuts. I've got to watch it again.
So have I.
There's Lillian Robbins' video of the Sycorax doing Queen.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
what?
Cool.
Could you rephrase? I mean, was this when Freddie Mercury was alive? Or, I mean, exhumed the body. I mean, I don't want to go too far into this.
Okay, I already referenced the Positive yes, yes. is not
yes, the that's fine. You can move on from that bit. Thank you, Kirby. Yes.
Lillian has posted a picture of a bunch of oranges, a TARDIS in her hand.
Yeah.
Saying, waiting to listen to you. Technically, these are clementines, not satsumas, but y'all have pets who would point it out if I didn't say anything.
No, probably. Didn't.
I wonder who she's talking about.
Hasn't she got it's nice hands, though?
It's a mystery, that, isn't it? It's like a different podcast crew.
Yeah, but hasn't she got nice hands, true. Everyone? I think we should see a bit more of Lillian's hands. We could have a new hashtag, Lillian's hands.
Oh, God, he's up on the perv again.
We've lost him.
Carry on. I quite like the look of Billy Kirkbride's feet. Maybe we could have some feet photo.
He has got a good set of drums on him, though.
That's a nice Eminem impersonation. I was thinking that vibe. Yeah. Can we hear that one again?
No, get on with it.
Okay, Brandon Moore. Oh, go on, Rose. Tell us another one, because I swear I could listen to it all day. TARDIS this, TARDIS that. Christmas Invasion by ARTYD.
Spelled ARTYDEE.
Yes. I love Christmas episodes of Doctor Who. Two of my favorite things put together. Christmas and Who. Christmas Invasion is probably the best of the RTD era specials and probably one of the best 10th Doctor episodes. The Christmas elements are perhaps a bit of an add-on. You could easily remove them or alter them without massively changing the plot.
Yeah.
It's a good alien invasion story nonetheless, however. Harriet Jones, yes, we know who you are. Is pretty good. Doesn't she look tired?
Yes.
Rose carries the story for the first 45 minutes, but the second DT enters the room, he takes center stage with a much more confident swaggering portrayal of the Doctor than the more maudlin, violin suckling version of later seasons series.
Yes, yes.
The Sycorax rocked, and the coming soon trailer for Series 2 was epic and exciting. And the Middle 8 is back! That's right, it is. All good stuff. Sorry for no audio this week. I'm so, so sorry.
Not good enough. What you got to say for yourself? Oh, you said sorry, didn't you? That's fair enough.
Yeah, the Middle 8, we was pointing out, is the Middle 8 from the theme is finally back.
Oh, yeah.
In the ending credits.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for that. Well, we've got this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Blood Control. I haven't seen Blood Control for ages. This week is the 60th anniversary of the first man in space.
Oh, was it? Oh,
Yuri Gagarin in 1961.
I'm feeling old.
Looking out of the window, there's a bit of sleet falling as I record this.
Yes, it's
mustn't grumble, though, as there is a tropical cyclone in Australia. Keep the budgies indoors, Robert.
Picture budgie snugglers indoors.
The Christmas Invasion by Russell T. Davies. I think Jackie has one of the best lines ever. I'm going to be killed by a Christmas tree. There are more domestic scenes, as this is written by Russell T. Davies. There's Big Ben again.
Yeah,
nothing
being
says
repaired.
This is London like Big Ben. Most of us is Cardiff, though. This was made in 2005, and they're still going on about the 1982 Falklands conflict.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The destruction of a spaceship is a sneaky reference to the sinking of the Belgrano outside the exclusion zone.
Ah.
The leader of the enemy wears a mask and cuts off the hero's hand. That reminds me of someone.
I am your father.
Oh, yes. That's him. Bye for now.
Well done, Ian. Excellent.
Well, yeah, it is a reference to the Falklands conflict. I believe RTD said that, but it's also the reference to the end of the Doctor Who and the Silurians.
Thank you for that little update, Kirby. We have one little bit left, and the honour goes...
Oh.
No, it doesn't. It nearly did, but it didn't in the end.
since
whole podcast, he's got to break in with some more now.
Yes, I know.
So I was reminded because of Ian mentioning Big Ben.
Yeah.
If you'll notice, there's scaffolding around.
Scaffolding. Oh, yeah.
It was being rebuilt repaired. after it had been destroyed the previous season.
I guess it's
ironic because it's had scaffolding around it now for the last 4 years.
It has, yes, because they're polishing it.
This was 2005, I think.
There you go. So you could watch it now and think it's like many.
Yes, you could indeed. apart from the cars and the hairstyles. Brandon Moore says Ten was definitely feeling his way into one character, Rose. Ooh. Mary, you have some blurb to dictate. No, I thought you had some blurb to dictate. Ooh. Have you gone to the toilet? You, dear.
Oh, okay. Okay, feedback.
Thank you, Mikey.
Feedback for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Let's the Christmas Invasion. Sorry, even the doctor says he's very Arthur Dent. It was the tea, the dressing gown, and PJs that got me confused. Jackie seems to be a right little tart. Last week it was a driver, and this week a chap who likes fruit at night. Scary Santas, deadly Christmas trees, lethal music instruments, and a massive rock full of Sycorax hanging over London. A typical Doctor Who Christmas, then. I love the way Harriet Jones, Prime Minister, tells the American president to bugger off. The Brits would deal with the Sycorax. The story is very H.G. Wells. London is in trouble, so the world is going to fall. Normal vintage Doctor Who occurrence. Trust Jackie to want to bring everything, including the kitchen sink. She said the bags contain food. What's happened to the TARDIS food dispenser first seen in the Daleks? Rose says she gets creeped out by the doctor's new right hand. She'll be living with her mom in another dimension with a doctor grown from the severed hand very soon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got a whole doctor grown.
Yeah.
Torchwood gets a mention, then blows up the Sycorax. Harriet Jones, Prime Minister, gets the doctor's backup. Do you think she looks tired?
Yes.
All after a slow start, it turned out to be a good Christmas fare. Well, it has to be said, looking forward to all of the pussies next week, they are nurses, Ben. Stay safe and well, Linda and Terry Miles.
Oh, dear. What is this podcast becoming?
It's been that for 10 years.
Has it now?
Say, it's not what it's becoming. It's what it became.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Past tense.
Anyway, right. So Doctor Who news. There's not a lot of it, but there's rather an exciting piece that says Ninth Doctor versus the Cybermen. Christopher Eccleston's Ninth Doctor will encounter some old friends and foes in the forthcoming volumes of Big Finish's Doctor Who: The Ninth Doctor Adventures. Now, there is a video, I think, but and I'm going to play it. Hopefully there's some decent audio that goes with it. Otherwise, it won't work particularly well on this particular audio presentation.
There it is.
Here it is.
I'm back! I'm really back in the TARDIS. You did it, old girl.
From Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, The Ninth Doctor Adventures, Volume 1, Ravagers.
Endless possibilities and events. Future, past, and everything in between.
I have done the thing! Temporal thing, radiating from the TARDIS like nobody's business.
Doctor, I honestly don't know how this could have happened.
Come on, get in.
Oh, my God.
It's all right. It's all right. Don't panic.
I'm not panicking.
I wasn't talking to you. Centurion!
Did you just fall out of the sky or something?
So?
Yeah. So you lied to her.
I meant what I said.
Doctor! If you can hear me, you better get here soon!
Run for it, lads! Run!
But if you stay here, waving your swords and spears around, you'll be blown off the face of the earth! That macho enough for you?
He's really done it now.
Nova! Hang on to something! Sir! Stop this!
I couldn't agree more, Doctor.
Audrey, no! Put that phone...
How can this be inside your police box?
Perfectly reasonable question.
Target! We're being overrun! We've got to
That sounded a bit polite for a giant mechanical monster.
Oh, God, I've no idea, sir.
What the hell are these people?
Just quiet, please, all of you.
Sort of terrifying.
Pretty much sums it up.
What if they grab you and try to wipe your brain?
They can try. Whoa. Right. Shall we get on with this? That's not just amazing, it's... fantastic!
Big Finish. Good. We love stories.
Well.
Oh, I'm more. Looking forward to that.
That is really loaded. Well, I've ordered them. First one is in my inbox.
Wow.
I'm going to be busy.
I rarely get those new, but I think I'll get that one.
I'm excited to have him back and have him playing the Doctor, whether it's an audio or not. It does sound like he's having a great deal of fun doing it.
It sounds absolutely fake.
Stop
it. I mean, the thing is, right, I said what, a couple of months ago, that they should get Eccleston back now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and pick it up or do whatever, you know, do an interim little bit, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And are you telling me that after sounding that, I know he was getting paid for it, but... After sounding that excited about doing that, he wouldn't go back and do the tent. No, of course he bloody would. And they should get him back.
Well, the thing is, right, we're coming up quite soon, actually. It's only a couple of years to go to the 60th.
Yeah.
So hopefully he will be up for it and we'll have an amazing multi-doctor story.
That could start all sorts of stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
fingers
but the
crossed.
Thing is, if Chibnall's still there... Oh, God.
Oh, come on. At least we've still got Doctor Who to moan about.
I think after this next season that he does with Jodie Whittaker, I think they're both going to leave.
Please.
That's the rumor.
Fingers crossed, eh?
They threatened last year to leave. You know, they got talked back, so.
Please.
I'll tell you what, the obvious candidate, if Jodie Whittaker does leave Doctor Who, and I apologize to everyone else around the world who won't understand this joke, but the obvious person for the role of Doctor Who is Alex Scott.
What, the footballer?
She does everything else, mate.
Robert Venstein says, congratulations, Chris. Welcome to Big Finish. Well, that's very nice. I agree. I'm on the... I'm so glad that Chris is doing something Doctor Who-ish. And if he enjoys it, we might get him in the actual 60th anniversary, which I'll have to start filming next year, to be fair. So there you go. Right, so... I'm not going to do the other stuff because we've run over somewhat. So we're going to put that
other
stuff that we normally do, sponsors and stuff.
You mean whowon.co.uk?
Whowon.co.uk. Yeah, well, I'm not going to go down that route. We'll do it next week when
yes,
we've got
we
more time. What we will talk about is what we're going to talk about next week, which is it New Earth? I think that's the next story, is it?
Uh-huh.
No, it's New Earth. I don't think it's all new Earth. But yeah, so that's next time. And,
New York.
Before I go, I'm just curious. How was it reported? And how did it sort of? Yeah, how was it reported the passing of the Duke of Edinburgh in America and Australia? You can start, Mary, because you're very good at speaking.
I mean, it was just reported, you know, matter of factly, and the Queen is mourning, and that's it. You know, nothing. It's just one of those stories that is slotted in with several other stories.
Okay, so it wasn't on TV all day then. Robert, what was it like in Australia? Because you're part of the Commonwealth, so was it a bit more?
Well, I found about it late at night. I was just, I think I was on a forum somewhere, and somebody just mentioned it. But so I turned on the news, the ABC news, and all they had on was the BBC news.
Oh.
But it was just, I got so sick of turning on the TV and seeing it because they kept on repeating the same things over and over.
That's what they did here, but they did it on three channels.
It's called the OBIT procedure.
Yes.
And
even on the same channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I had the news on Friday lunchtime and I saw the same report by Nicholas Witchell, Royal Correspondent, twice in about 25 minutes.
I know why they do it. It's because certain people are at work and they pick it up and they come in. But I mean, at least nowadays, even though they had it on the three main channels, BBC One, BBC Two and ITV, and all the news channels as well, you could go to Netflix and watch something else. So at least the choice was there. But I didn't see the necessity for it being on both BBC channels.
It has to be.
Or by law?
Friday, we started watching the coverage on Friday, and then Saturday morning we got up and turned on the news and saw the same exact things.
Mm-hmm.
And then this morning we turned on the news, it was the same thing. Exact things with the addition of, okay, this is when the funeral's happening.
It's got a bit better here today.
Yeah.
The last Friday and Saturday all the radio stations were still only playing somber music and whatnot, yeah. But it's got back to, a bit more back to normal today.
I was mentioning to my wife, they are just, if they want to repeat all this stuff, just refer people to The Crown and they can watch it.
Yes, I know. The thing is, though, I mean, the ironic part of it, and I'm going to just wrap this bit up, but the ironic part of it is it's almost exactly what Prince Philip didn't want, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But without going on too much, he was a fantastic player.
He was indeed.
And what I thought was very funny is I put something on my Facebook about it, and the only people who went, were people of the older generation.
Oh, what are you saying?
I think actually says quite a lot about what people think about the royal family. Yeah. I mean, if you don't know about what he did, and, you know, I think, you know, giving up his military, well, Navy career, to give it up for the country. How can you have anything but, you know, good words to say about him?
Indeed. Yeah. Hopefully that people are...
Here in America, I mean, his reputation is... There's never any stress on his military service. There's only he's the guy who walks two steps behind the Queen.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we really know about him.
No, it's amazing.
Isn't that an amazing thing to do all his life?
Yeah, like just devotion, dedication.
Amazing thing to do.
He was very talented.
Sportsman.
Athlete. He was very intelligent in regards to. He was always innovative about. He wanted to bring forward future inventions. He was fascinated with space flight. He was always trying to encourage people to excel. And, you know, it's just an amazing bloke. It was very before his time. Bear in mind, he was 99. He was always ahead of everything. He was up to date with everything, you know. And
he was the first person to have, He was the first person to have three bits of tech in this country.
Yeah.
I can't remember which three bits they were, but they're all quite important things.
I think it was a word processor was one of them, wasn't it?
Sorry?
A word processor, I think, was one of the things.
Yes,
was one of the
first that's right. I think he was one of the first to have a computer,
But anyway, I just wanted to talk about because obviously people listen to this podcast post-haste, so, you know, they might listen to it in 3 years' time to know that we were recording this time at the time of Duke of Edinburgh.
If they haven't heard in 3 years' time, that's going to come as one hell of a shot.
You know. Anyway, so next time, like I say, it's New Earth, and I look forward to watching that because now we're in the Tennant era. Although my favourite part of the Tennant era is actually after Rose goes, but that rhymes. So hopefully we'll all be around next week and back to normal. So thanks for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Until next time, goodbye. Goodbye, fancy dance.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.